All right, here we go. It's Wednesday, the 10th of July. Good to have you here. And my next guest is a young man who has just attended the Miami of Ohio University in Oxford, Ohio, 22 years old, and he's part of the Collegiate Network of Summer Fellows at USA Today, where he's written an op-ed piece. And his observation is that the Midwest needs infrastructure. No question about that. I mean, in Michigan, the governor here was elected on the slogan of fix the damn roads. But deficiency in infrastructure all over this country is a serious problem, something the president has talked about, Democrats have talked about, but they have not gotten together on. And Jacob Brueggemann, he believes that infrastructure could be the key to the White House in 2020. Interesting observation. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. So you're from the Cleveland area in Ohio, and when you look at bridges and roads and so forth, you see what many of us see, which are a lot of repairs are necessary, a lot of replacement is necessary. But you believe that this whole infrastructure concern in the Midwest, be it Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, all of these upper Great Lakes states, it could be the key to the White House. Why do you say that?
Look, so the Democratic candidates for 2020 have adopted interesting, but in my opinion, bad political strategies by which they're going for sexy sound bites rather than sound bridges. So the reason they lost in 2016 to Trump was because they, of course, won the popular vote, but lost the Electoral College, is they lost the Midwest states. They lost the Heartland states. And instead of focusing on the issues that are most salient to us here, bridges, clean water, park infrastructure, on and on, different types of infrastructure, they're talking about Medicare for all. They're talking about things that are going to inevitably alienate certain sectors of the electorate in the Midwest. And so there's a, in my opinion, bizarre political strategy going on in the Democratic Party now, whereby they're moving further to the left on these social issues rather than focusing on the things we all want and need.
I think there's some truth to what you found here. And what I'll say this is Jacob, in 2016, as you know, with a basket full of deplorables, as Hillary Clinton infamously said about voters, and again, as you watch the debates or as you hear Nancy Pelosi make America white again, which is just another dig at Trump voters, another insult.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me that the Democrats have been reflective in their loss of 2016. They didn't go back and say, now, why did we lose the middle class blue collar workers of Cleveland or Detroit or Milwaukee? They didn't look at that. Instead, they doubled down on let's go farther left. Let's give free things away. Let's offer free stuff and make tax increases the cornerstone of our messaging. And, oh, by the way, we hate Donald Trump. Okay, we got that part. But there really is message there, is there?
Yeah, I mean, often what you're seeing, you know, and when people are doing press releases, when they're on the talk shows, right, they're more concerned with what they would call the orange scourge in the White House than they are with, you know, practicable policy solutions. And so there's definitely a sense in which, you know, they've, you know, no longer necessarily the working man's party, which is what the Democratic claim to fame has been for a long time. That's been their slogan, right? But the reality is that $18 trillion of the U.S. economy relies on a fluid and, you know, productive and, you know, reliable infrastructure. And we are looking at, you know, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation, upwards of $2 trillion needed for sort of our bridges and roads just to be repaired, let alone talking about the more complicated types of infrastructure like our rails. And so instead of talking about, you know, how we're going to, you know, clean up the rail lines, clean up the roads, right, and get these working for average Americans, we're talking about forgiving college debt, which is a policy that, you know, itself doesn't favor the people that they're trying to, you know, help out here.
Well,
it's again, a sort of carrot stick.
Yeah, speaking of the college debt, I want college debt reparations if that happens, by the way. And that'd be the next big thing, reparations for me for having to pay for college when I was younger. And I agree with you on that. $18 trillion, big numbers here for infrastructure. Now, one of the hangups came back in May, I believe it was, when Donald Trump walked out of a meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that they were there ostensibly to talk about infrastructure. Didn't happen. It almost seemed like a planned move when he walked out because he was making a point. Yeah. And the point was, we need infrastructure, yes, but we need border security more. So I wonder if the Democrats would be more sensible about a border security plan, if the president would then come back. I mean, they were talking about $1 or $2 trillion, which is an incredibly expensive price tag for infrastructure. I'm not sure we can afford it, but I'm not sure we can afford not to face it. I think you have a double-edged sword here, Jacob.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at federal spending on public infrastructure, it's declined from upwards of 40% in the 70s to about 20, 25% now. The burden's been shifted to state and local governments. In my opinion, I'm a local control guy. That's not necessarily a bad thing. The problem is these local governments don't necessarily have the resources to do these things. You know, your township doesn't want to pass a tax levy, right? Your county doesn't necessarily want to raise taxes. And so there's a double-edged sword at this local federal, in this local federal dynamic, which is working to sort of prevent local governments closer to the roads and bridges themselves from fixing these things. And, you know, but you're right. It might be the case to your point that the Democrats might be more amenable to, you know, if working out something on the border and then including it in sort of an infrastructure package.
That would be smart.
But yeah, that's entirely possible.
Right.
I'd be curious to see Schumer and Pelosi sit down with Trump about it, though.
Yeah, therein lies the problem, Jacob. You nailed it.
Yep.
Because they won't sit down because, again, the Democrats' main message is we hate Trump. Okay, that's great. But while you're hating Trump, we're not rebuilding bridges in Cleveland. We're not covering interstates in Michigan. We're not doing anything to get these things addressed at a federal dollars level. Of course, the states, as you mentioned, are spending dollars. Ohio's road and bridges seem to be in much better shape than Michigan's. We're pretty close to the bottom of the ladder here. But I think the Democrats they're squandering their time here. And what I said after the midterm elections was Donald Trump had to figure out where he had lost his connection to the states of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the Democrats had to not overplay their hand. I think Donald Trump was listening. The Democrats, not so much, because they're still here doing the same thing, talking about more giveaways, higher taxes, socialism, and not fixing the things that matter to Americans in Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati or anywhere across the great state of Ohio or the Midwest. I'll give you the last word.
That's absolutely right. Again, what we're seeing is that the Dems are focusing on sexy sound bites rather than sound bridges. And to me, it's, again, astounding from a political strategy perspective. This election isn't about a referendum on capitalism. And that seems to be what some of these candidates are trying to make it about.
Yeah.
For them, presumably, the number one goal is ousting Trump. But they are shooting themselves in the foot to that goal, it seems.
Yeah, it seems that they're going to drag themselves so far left. It may not be repairable in the end. Jacob Brueggemann, a Collegiate Network Summer Fellow at USA Today and a contributor to Young Voice. Jacob, well done. Greatly appreciate you being here. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
There you have it. All right. You know, some young people get it. They think more than they don't. So there you have it. It's 41 after on a Wednesday. We're going to talk about Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television, after the break, and his comments on the president and jobs and where have Democrats gone so far left. We'll be right back.
It's hiring season in the construction industry, and have they got a job for you? Find out at MichiganConstruction.com. Major companies are looking to fill positions all over Michigan, so when the weather breaks, they can get to work, and so can you. If you're looking for a great place to hang your hard hat, check out MichiganConstruction.com. Before the snow melts, you can have great pay, health care, benefits, and a future, because it just might be a career. Go to MichiganConstruction.com. That's MichiganConstruction.com, because Michigan is hiring.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.